Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Hockey Podcast. On today's show, I have a very special guest, Elon Dubrovsky of the Keeping Carlson podcast.
Hello.
Say hi, Elon.
Great to be here, Andrew. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, no problem. It's great to have you. And take a minute and let the listeners know where they can find you on social media and all the stuff you're working on.
Oh, sure. Well, basically, it's the Keeping Carlson Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We like to call ourselves the best fantasy hockey podcast in the world, hosted by two guys who own Eric Carlson in their keeper pools. So there is that caveat there, but we try our best. We do a new episode every Sunday. We just try to look at the past week of what's been going on in hockey through a fantasy lens and discuss, you know, who's hot, who's not, like injuries, outjuries, who's affected, like, and then, you know, players you might want to buy low or sell high. We try to cover the gambit on what's going on in fantasy hockey and try to give good advice to our listeners. And, you know, so it's called Keeping Carlson. You could follow us on Twitter at Keeping Carlson, and there's links to everything else from there.
And you do, it's 2 shows a week?
No, it's just, so we have 1 show a week, our main show on Sunday nights. And then we also have a Patreon where we have our patrons and we make bonus episodes for them, the people who like donate to support the show a little bit. It's for $5 a month. They get an extra bonus show. I actually just recorded one right before we spoke. It was our monthly patron cast where it's basically a big mailbag show where we answer all of the questions from the patrons. So we had a lot of fun questions that we tackled. A lot of people wondering about the playoff schedule coming up now. Like, now's about the time. Like, we're halfway through the season, which means we're about 3/4 of the way through sort of the fantasy regular season. So now that the fantasy playoffs are coming, now's the time to sort of look at, oh, do I have too many players on a team that has a bad schedule for the playoffs? Then you might want to make some preemptive moves if you know you're going to be there.
Yeah, great. And yeah, thanks again for coming on. So just to get going. So the first player I have listed want to talk about is Mikko Rantanen. Rantanen has been among the many surprises of the Colorado Avalanche this year. How do you feel about Rantanen moving forward?
I mean, Rantanen has been so good. He's a point per game right now, right? 41 points in 41 games. He's playing on a line with Nathan MacKinnon. I mean, I'm telling you stuff you already know, probably, but this is like he's playing with MacKinnon and Landeskog, and MacKinnon is like well above a point per game. I think he's like in the top 5 of league scoring right now. So it's almost, and also Rantanen, by the way, is also on the top power play. So he's getting all of like the prime minutes with the best players, and he's totally taking advantage. It seems like he's right now, like, secured that spot. Like, some players that are on the top line that are really useful in fantasy are guys that you have to kind of be worried that they might not be able to hold it. You know, like, Edmonton is a prime example where, like, Lucic was there for a bit and Pat Maroon is sometimes there and Puljujärvi jumps up and off that top line. I think he's there right now. But, you know, like, Rantanen is, like, there. Colorado isn't terrible anymore, which is nice. They could score some goals. And it seems like Rantanen and MacKinnon are in on, like, every second goal, it seems, and all the power play goals. So I love him. Like, he's probably not going to be able to keep up a point per game like for the whole rest of the season. That would be asking a lot. But at this point, like, what's not to like? You know, like, probably he's going to end the season with like 70 points. I don't think that's out of the question at all.
Yeah, he'll probably be among the best values of the year for sure.
Yeah, I added him as a free agent. We have the most competitive league I'm in is the league with the patrons of my podcast. So it's like people who like pay money to support a fantasy hockey podcast. That's how like obsessed these people are with fantasy, just like myself and my co-host Brian. And I somehow got in our like super competitive league. I got Rantanen as a free agent, I think in like the first week of the season. And he's become a cornerstone of my team. Like every time he plays, I'm like very confident he's going to help me out, get me like a power play point at least.
Yeah, Rantanen's line mate, Nathan MacKinnon, is high on my list of fantasy regrets this year. I drafted, like, I got MacKinnon late in my draft, in one of my drafts, and I dropped him in the first week in the first 2 weeks because he was way below a point a game. I wasn't expecting a lot from Colorado, and sadly, I kept Matt Duchene in his place.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I mean, it is true. Like, going into the season, a lot of people were just being like, I'm not high on MacKinnon because Colorado was basically what they were saying. But, like, yeah, so I'm looking here at the game log. Like, he actually started, he had 4 assists in the first 4 games. But then, yeah, I see here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He had 6 games where he only had 1 goal in those 6 games. So I'm assuming you dropped him during that stretch. Since then, like, oh my, like this game log just makes me drool. I'm seeing like 5-point games, 3-point games. Like, oh my gosh, that is it's a lesson, right? You have to learn sometimes these fantasy hockey lessons is the first 2 weeks of the season are always crazy and you can't drop a superstar player like that early. But yeah, obviously it's a pretty shallow league. If you could drop someone like Nathan MacKinnon, like who did you even drop him for?
It was a 14, I think it's a 14 team league. So it's not too shallow.
Oh man.
But I think I dropped him to take somebody off IR.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but you won't make that mistake again, I guess.
Or you will.
Yeah, I guess, well, you never know. But like, I guess at least not with someone like MacKinnon. Like, he's a, you know, former first overall draft pick, and he had a couple not great seasons. But even like last season when he was disappointing, I think he had like 50 something points. I could find the exact number, but even still, he was probably still worth owning in a 14 team league. Like, yeah, he had 53 points last year, so it was disappointing. But oh well. He's already almost passed. He has 52 points right now.
Yeah. Earlier in the week, he was second in NHL scoring.
Yeah. Oh, well. But anyways, Rantanen is riding shotgun, and he's like, there's no question that he's going to stay on that top line, right? Like, who's going to bump him? Carl Soderberg or Nail Yakupov? I don't think so.
Yeah. Great. Moving. Next player on our list tonight is, I still think of him as the best player in hockey, but Sidney Crosby is coming back to being close to the point per game mark. He's had some other indicators though that look like he's either worn out from two straight Stanley Cup runs plus spending some time with Team Canada on the World Cup of Hockey. Or maybe it's just that he's, starting to see a little bit of a decline in his game. But what do you think of Sidney Crosby as we move forward? Are we starting to see decline, or is this just him being worn out?
Well, I'm guessing you wrote this question, all of the things you said before a couple days ago, because he had a goal and 3 assists 2 games ago against the Islanders, and he had 3 assists in Pittsburgh's last game against Boston. So he's definitely not looking like he's slowing down lately. But I guess, yeah, before that, he went on a bit of a cold run. But I'm not worried about Sidney Crosby. Like, he would have to go on a really long, like you said, he's like almost up to like four, he's up to 42 points in 44 games. Last year, he won the Rocket Richard Trophy for the most goals, which like no one would have expected him to do that because he's not generally known as like a supreme goal scorer in the league anymore. And like, you know, Pittsburgh's been weird this year. Like they haven't, like things haven't shaken out the way we expect. Like going into the year, I feel like everyone just assumed it was going to be like Crosby, Gensel, and Sheary on the top line, and they'd continue with the magic that they put up at the end of last year. And like, you know, Sheary has struggled. They've been shaking lines up all the time. Like right now in the last game, Crosby was playing. Do you know who Crosby's line mates were in the last game? I'm just curious to know.
I haven't looked at it, but the last
guess time, I'll bet you won't even be I able to guess one
was,
of them.
It was Dominic Simone.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And oh,
and Daniel Sprong is the other one. Like, so two guys who weren't even on the team for most of the season. So they're really shaking things around a bit. And hey, right now, like Sidney Crosby to me is still an elite fantasy asset. Every time he goes on a slump, we say on our podcast, like, guess what? The window's open. Go buy low. Try to like say what you just said now is the exact speech I would be saying to a Crosby owner when he goes with like whatever 3 points in 7 games. Then you go, oh, like so tired. He's just been like playing so much because he had the World Cup of Hockey before last year. And then try to get him for cheap. But at the end of the day, he's Sidney Crosby, and he's like a threat to have a big multi-point game anytime. So even if he's not going to be like as consistent, he'll like make up for it with like a huge game every once in a while. And hopefully Pittsburgh will figure out a line combination that clicks. Who knows? Maybe Dominic Simone and Daniel Sprong, they're the new Sheary and Gensel. Sheary and Gensel are like old news at this point. The new hotness is Simone and Sprong. And I would definitely be considering adding Daniel Sprong, by the way, in a deeper league if he's available for however long he's playing with Crosby, because he also like takes a lot of shots on goal. He had like a 6-shot game a couple of games ago. So I always like that in my sort of fringe fantasy players, because the more shots you take, first of all, that's like a category in fantasy. Yep. So that helps you on its own. Plus the more shots you take, the more chances you have of getting goals or assists.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Crosby's always really interesting because throughout his career, I feel like the thought in Pittsburgh is that it's Crosby and two guys. It's never the two best guys whereas rarely the two best guys, you know, they experimented much earlier with putting Malkin on his line or, but I mean, like, for the bulk of his career to this point, I feel like he's been strapped to Chris Kunitz, or maybe right, it's more like Chris Kunitz has been strapped to his back. And, you know, last year it's, you know, Guentzel and Cheery, and now it's, you know, Sprong and Simone.
He played with Pascal Dupuis for a really long time.
Yeah.
Also.
That, yeah.
We had a good career, by the way. Like, not too shabby, but yeah. But yeah, when Phil Kessel came to Pittsburgh, I don't recall many games of like Kessel playing with Crosby. It was like Kessel with Malkin almost all the time.
For sure. And I actually think Simone might be the guy to own.
Oh, really?
Of the two. And I mean, just looking at his AHL production over the last couple of years, I guess if he's Scranton Wilkes-Barre, he's been pretty productive in the AHL. So, he's a big kid, and he might be somebody who provides some value moving forward.
Yeah, maybe in like a dynasty league, if you're looking really long term, like Daniel Sprong right now seems to be also getting like second unit power play time, which I like. So I just feel like right now Sprong is like getting more minutes, and he's the one I'd want right now. But yeah, maybe long term, Simone is someone to look at. Also, it depends on your categories. Like Simone doesn't seem like a guy who's going to shoot a lot, and you're just hoping he's going to get assists on Crosby goals.
Yeah, or I suppose the new Sprong goals.
Yeah, exactly.
The next player I have to talk about is also a little bit of a surprise this year, much like Ren, and that's Sean Couturier.
Oh, yeah, so good. Is he someone else who... that's like one of my big regrets, actually. He was... I think I streamed him for a week at the start of the season into my lineup in one of my leagues, and then I just dropped him because I didn't expect him to be... Because at the start of the year, Sean Couturier is like... He started the year playing with Giroux and Voracek, like, right off the start. So it was, like, a great spot right from the beginning. Not Giroux and Voracek. Is it Giroux and Voracek? Yeah. Yeah, but, like, he wasn't on the top power play. So I thought it was, like, one of these situations where, yeah, he's on a good line, but he's on that top power play, so he's not, like, especially good. But, like, even that should have been enough to hold on for a little while. Because, like, before this season, he's never really done much of anything. I feel like he's always been looked at as more of one of those, like, shutdown centers. You know, like, you put him against the best competition, and he'll, like, be able to keep the other team from scoring. And he's been really good at it, but he's never been, at least fantasy-wise, and like, in real life, you know, it doesn't seem like Philly ever looked at him as, like, a super offensive guy. But this, and he's never played on, like, the top line. But now this year, not only did he get on that top line, and they moved Giroux from center to left wing so they could bring Couturier to the top line, and then, like, midway through, or a few weeks in, Couturier also got up on the top power play, and now... Like, clearly he's a great player, and he's in, like, the best possible situation. That Philly power play is one of the best in the league. Like, every, you know, like, I remember back when Mark Strait was, like, so valuable just because he was always on that top power play and doing so well. So, yeah, like, Couturier, he's, like, another Rantanen where, I'm not saying these guys aren't good players, but it's, like, for me, someone like Couturier, it's, like, this situation that he's in is so perfect for fantasy as the top line, top power play center. And just like Rantanen, he's exactly 42 points in 42 games.
Yeah, and... just for interest sake, of the best lines in hockey so far this year on a points basis, where do you think that Couturier line ranks?
I mean, I'd imagine very high. I'm trying to think of who else. Like, I know Nemesnikov with Kucherov and Stamkos was super high at the start, but now they've even broken up that line. But I'll bet you they're still high in the rankings. I'm trying to think who else would have a shot of being there. Like, what's a line that's stuck together all year long? I guess, is that Colorado one in contention? But probably not, because Landeskog was even injured for a bit. I feel like they might be number one or two.
They're number two.
Is it Tampa's one is number one?
Yeah, the Kucherov, Nemestikov, Stamkos line.
Yeah, you know who would probably be up there if there wasn't an injury is, like, that Braden Schenn with Jaden Schwartz and Tarasenko line was doing so well. Such a shame about Jaden Schwartz getting injured.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I mean... Couturier is actually, I think he hit the nail on the head. He's someone that you think of as maybe 40 points a year and going to provide strong defense, which is of just about no fantasy value, unless you're playing in plus-minus leagues or maybe somewhat in if you're using Corsi. But, the point production, he's already well above his career high. I think like 11 points above his career high to date. And I mean, if this is the real Sean Couturier, you know, Philly could be pretty exciting in years to come.
Also, strangely, or I don't know if this has to do with his new role on the team, but he has 44 hits in 42 games, so over a hit per game. He actually has more hits so far this year than he's had since like 3 years ago. Like, he's hitting a lot more than he used to. So I don't know if this is just a fluke or if that's something, but he even helps you with hits now, which he didn't used to do.
Yeah, which is...
What a hero.
Absolutely.
I wish I had him. I don't have him in any league.
Yeah, neither do I. The next guy up I do, and that's his Philly teammate, Ivan Provorov. Of the guys that we're talking about today, he is the one that is the most possible to own still, I think, maybe. I think he's owned in most leagues, but I think I saw he was still available in something like still like 20% of leagues on Fantrax leagues.
Wow. Well, I could see it in like a points only league that's not too deep. I could see an argument to maybe not have Provorov, but because he's not on the top power play, so he's not getting like the prime offensive opportunities. But at the same time, he's like half point per game, which for a defenseman is really good. And then if your league has any sort of like peripheral value, like he takes a ton of shots. Like for a defenseman, it's actually rare to get so many shots, like over two a game. Like he hits, he blocks, he does everything, and he's getting like the offense, and he still gets a good power play time. Like he's on the second unit, and he's had actually like we had a two power play goal game a couple games ago and a big win over the Islanders. But like, yeah, this you're throwing softballs at me, I feel. Yeah. Like all these guys are telling me, it's like, yeah, they're great. I can't think of anything bad to say. I feel if Brian was here, that's my co-host, he digs more into the advanced stats and we'll look at, oh, you know, his on-ice shooting percentage is a bit too high, so you would expect that to maybe regress going to the second half of the year. Like, I haven't looked into stuff like that. I guess I could look, like, I could look at the Dauber, like, the Dauber profile of a player on Frozen Pools will tell you what their on-ice shooting percentage is, and that is something, because it does seem kind of high. Like, he definitely is getting a lot of points. I'm surprised actually that he has as many points as he does. I thought he was a little less than half. He's right now has 20 points in 42 games.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know. His percentages seem pretty reasonable. So,
yeah. The thing to keep in mind with Provorov though, is that of those 20 points, a quarter of them came within a 7-day stretch.
Right. So before that he was a lot less. Yeah. Yeah. He's been on fire in the last few days. So you're right. Yeah. So he's the kind of guy, yeah, in a points only league. Like, you know, like there's a lot of interesting defensemen nowadays. Like this guy Jordan Osterley has come out of nowhere and he's now the top, he was on the Chicago Blackhawks top power play last game, like even bumping Duncan Keith, and he has like a million points in his last stretch. Like, I'm just bringing him up now. He's on the top pairing with Duncan Keith and he was the only defenseman on the top power play in yesterday's game with like Kane, Schmaltz, Taves, and Patrick Sharp is there, which is also kind of interesting. Anyways, Osterley like was like nothing for the start of the year. He was even benched for a bunch of games. Then he got like an assist like every couple games every once in a while. And now just like in the last seven games, he has 3 goals and 4 assists. So like if you're in a points only league, I could definitely see an argument to drop someone like Provorov for Osterley and get the top power play guy. But for peripherals, like Provorov should have been drafted and never dropped because he's so reliable and with those shots, it's great.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, for the week, I think it looks like he scored on 20% of his shots, which is obviously not sustainable, but
yeah,
over
the
course of a week is going to happen.
But hey, I mean, if you're taking 5-6 shots a game, yeah, you're still not going to like score every game, but you're definitely giving yourself a better chance than someone who's only taking 1 or 2 shots.
But yeah, his overall shooting percentage of 7.8% is very sustainable. 103 shots. I mean, obviously you're not getting a ton of power play points because Gostav Bashar is eating up most of those defenseman power play minutes. He's an injury away from probably being nearly as like from really jumping up the ranks, I think, to, by getting all that additional power play time.
Oh yeah, for sure. If Ghost Bear got injured, Provorov would be like one of the top fantasy assets because he's like just as good. Because then he would probably be getting similar points to go spare. Like, I don't want to say he's just as good on the power play, but I think he's clearly shown to be very good. But plus, he gives you all those peripherals. So he'd be, like, so much more valuable than go spare if he got on the top power play. So that would be huge. I don't know. Like, his 7.8 shooting percentage, I think that actually is potentially high for a defenseman. Like, the thing with shooting percentage also is it really kind of depends on the player. Like, some players are just able to sustain a higher or have a lower shooting percentage for their career. So it's, but he's like new. Like, last year, Provorov only had a 3.7 shooting percentage, which I think is more in line for a defenseman. So he might actually be a little high. Like, I don't think he's going to be scoring at, like, right now, he has 8 goals on 103 shots. So I don't know if he's going to end the year with like 20 goals. I would say closer to like 14, 15 goals if I had to guess.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, his career mark is 5.3. I mean, I would expect if I look at more of an elite defenseman, somebody probably like maybe Brent Burns, whose numbers are going to be a little unfair because he spent part of his career as a forward as well. But
Brent Burns also shoots so often. Like, his shooting percentage is like, he has a 4.1 right now. Oh, but he was like 9.1 last year. Like, Brent Burns is otherworldly, right, in fantasy. Like, a defenseman who's leading the league in shots almost.
Yeah, I mean, 172 shots is ridiculous. And I guess when you look straight at the numbers, like, Provorov has more goals than Burns. But, I mean, Burns is one winning the battle when it comes to most ridiculous beard.
Yeah, of course.
Like, if that may be part of his strategy, is he just confuses the goalie with, like, look, maybe he's pulling something out of the beard. I don't know. But he is also losing the teeth part of it, as he seems to be missing much of the front row of his teeth. So
yeah, I think that definitely Provorov's a more eligible bachelor than Burns would be. I don't know what Burns' marital status is, but Provorov is probably more of a catch. So Burns probably has more money, but I'm sure Provorov has quite about a lot of money as well. But, you know, I'll bet you, if you look at Burns' stat line, like, just recently, he's got like 5, 4, 8 shots every game, but hardly any goals. But he has like an assist or two in almost every game. I haven't been watching all of these Sharks games, but I'd be willing to bet that a lot of these assists are like, you know, he takes a shot and then someone scores on the rebound, because he just throws so many pucks on net. Like, a lot of people don't realize, like, a lot of shots also helps you get assists, because that's a big way goals are scored in the NHL, is off of a rebound, and you still get the assist for that.
Yeah. Burns is a guy I've been touting for much of the year as, like, go and buy this guy.
Yeah, he was a great buy low candidate, because he was so slow to start the year. Like, same with Joe Pavelski, who's really heated up now. Like, there was an awesome window to get Brent Burns. I think he had like an 8-game pointless streak at one point, like at the start of November. So yeah, I have him in one league. I traded for him. I was very excited that I was able to pull that off. I wish I tried harder to get him in more leagues.
Yeah, and I mean, I did midterm rankings I have a ranking system that I use based on the Yahoo standard scoring system, because they're the only one I can find that actually has a standard set of scoring. And Burns was, I think he was well inside of the top 10 for defensemen.
Of what?
Considering of the overall, makeup based on goals, assists.
Sure, but that's for the whole season, right?
Yeah, for the whole season.
If you were to do for the last 30 days, he'd be number one, I'm almost positive.
Yeah, most likely. But when you think about it as an overall piece of work, right? Burns, you know, probably a lot of people say that he stunk for the first month of the season, maybe. But since then, he's been, you know, value's been sky high.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's good.
Number 7.
So, honestly, I have him in a league that counts. So in my, like, the Keeping Carlson patron league, that's the league I have him in. It counts goals, assists, shots, power play points, and blocks. Those are the only 5 skater categories.
Yep.
I don't think I would trade him for anyone. Like, I don't even know if I would like Connor McDavid, like, is awesome, and Sidney Crosby's awesome. But honestly, I'd rather have Brent Burns, because if you think of also value over replacement, like, if I trade Brent Burns, I have to pick up a free agent defenseman to fill that spot on my roster. The top free agent defenseman I'm seeing right now are like maybe like Jeff Petrie, Seabrook. You know, it's like a really bad drop in the quality of defenseman available. But like, you know, if I, you know, for a forward, I have guys like, I don't know, Paul Stastny's there. Like, I'm not saying like superstars. Lucic is there. like somewhat reasonable yeah. owns in fantasy. So the value over defenseman of a, like for a Brent, like the value over replacement, I mean, for a defenseman makes Brent Burns. Plus he's like going to take so many shots, probably more shots than Crosby and McDavid. I don't even have to say probably, like almost definitely. So, and like points will be close enough that I'd say Burns is the most valuable player in fantasy right now to own in most leagues.
Yeah. I mean, at the time of that I pulled down these stats, he was 32 shots ahead of the next highest defenseman, which was Roman Josi.
Right, yeah. And how's he doing in the overall season shots for all players?
Let me get the filter. That.
It's a race. Okay, I got it. Tarasenko's first. Ovechkin. Burns is fifth right now. He has 172. Tarasenko has 191. Ovechkin, Evander Kane, and Tyler Seguin are rounding out the top five. So I wouldn't be surprised if Burns, you know, catches up. If you go just based on the last month, oh, he's actually farther down. Okay. I'm surprised, but yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, at the time I did this, looks like Pacioretty was a shot ahead of him, but that has since changed. So,
right, yeah.
But yeah, point well made.
Okay, but who are we talking about? Osterley? Or we weren't even talking about Osterley. We were talking about Provorov. Yeah. Provorov's great, especially in a, we call it a bangers and mash league. If you're in one of those where you're counting hits and blocks, you definitely want to have Provorov, but everyone already knows that.
And then the goalie I had to talk with this week, Frederik Andersen. So also another dunker for you.
I mean, yeah.
So Andersen has been, he's typically thought of up and down. I'm sure you hear about this probably more than you would like, living in Toronto, but what are your thoughts on Frederik Andersen?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know. Like, I don't really listen to the radio, so I don't hear that much more about Frederik Andersen. Though I guess I do listen to the like TSN Hockey Analytics podcast, and definitely they have a bit of a Toronto focus. But you know, it's funny. You called Frederik Andersen up and down. I feel like I'd call him down and up, like because that's the order how it goes. Like two seasons in a row now, he's started terribly. Like the Leafs, like can't like to start the year. Like if you look at the first few games, he led in like three goals. Like he was letting 3+ goals pretty much every single game for a really like pretty much all of October. A lot of people were messaging being like, oh, what should we do about Frederik Andersen? Should I drop him? And I remember saying at the time, like, just look at last year. It was the same thing. And literally they've been mirrors of themselves. He settled in. I guess Toronto's defense decided to start helping him out a little bit. And then now he's been amazing. Like his, like on the season, on the whole, he has a 920 save percentage, 921, which is really good. But if you just look at the last 2 months, he has 935 save percentage. So he's been like all-star, like Vezina trophy caliber lately. Plus in fantasy, he's on a team that knows how to score goals. So he's great. Like he's a, if you're tiering goalies of trying to figure out like what tier Frederik Andersen comes in, I think he's like tier two for sure. And I think there's an argument to be made. Like who's in a tier ahead of him? Like, you know, you could say like Bobrovsky and Holtby and like, you know, going into the year, you would have said like Matt Murray and Carey Price. But at this point, I don't know. I feel like Frederik Andersen is just as good as any other goalie to own in fantasy. Plus the added bonus that the Leafs suck in terms of having a backup goalie. Like Anderson's going to play every game pretty much. So if your league counts saves, he's dynamite for you.
Yeah. I mean, 267 goals against, 921 save percentage. He made, yeah, and if you play in a league with saves, not only does he play every game, but the defense group in front of him really isn't very good when it comes to playing defense. I mean, he led, of all players last week, he made the most saves. I think he had something like 127 saves in three games.
Wow.
Based on the metric that I did at the midway point, he's the number two goalie in all of fantasy so far this year. And he was in the top five last year.
I mean, yeah. Last year, it was like him and Talbot were the two goalies that you could just depend on to play a ton of games and win a bunch of them. And now this year, Talbot is playing a ton of games, but he's not winning as many of them. So Andersen, even though actually Andersen isn't leading the league in games, but I'm actually surprised. I wonder if it's just Toronto has fewer games or if he had an injury that I like forgot about, but now like he's played 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 games in a row now. But actually, like Bobrovsky, Brian Elliott, Hellebuck, Vasilevsky, Mike Smith, and Jake Allen. Jake Allen, oh, he's tied with him. Anyways, those guys have all played more games than Frederik Andersen. That's not going to last for Jake Allen because Carter Hutton has been getting a lot of action lately. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year, Andersen leads the league. And though, actually, no, Brian Elliott is kind of like Elliott, Bobrovsky, and Connor Hellebuck could fight him for it. And maybe even like on Tampa, they have Louis Domingue as their backup now because Budaj was injured and he had a good game. I'm wondering when they're going to bring Domingue back in. Actually, Vasilevsky is sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. Like I said, I already recorded a podcast. I was like in the zone before we talked. Vasilevsky's had three bad games in a row now. They lost today 5-1 to Calgary. He led in all five goals. And his last two games also, he's been below 900 save percentage. And meanwhile, Domingue played against Detroit and got the 5-2 win. Of course, Detroit isn't exactly the highest scoring team, but I wonder, well, actually Tampa Bay is going into this bye week now. So I'm sure that Vasilevsky's going to, maybe it's like a much needed break for him. He's had such a heavy workload. If you could buy low on him, I would, but obviously.
Yeah, I think you can need a longer slump to buy low on Vasilevsky.
Yeah, that's right.
He was actually the top rated goalie that I had so far. Based on the metric that I had. And actually, my only concern with Vasilevsky is that Tampa might take its foot off at the gas. Probably, like, they could be 10, 15 games that, you know, come the end of the season, he might not be playing all that much because, I mean, they've got a decent lead in the Atlantic. And it's, I mean, there's no way they're not making the playoffs. So,
yeah. For sure.
The difference between the top three teams in the Atlantic and then the dumpster fire that makes up the other five is like considerable. So,
yeah. And especially he's also a young goalie. He's never played so much. Like this is his first year in Tampa as the undisputed starting goalie because there was Bishop there for a few years before. So it would make sense for sure for them if they're like comfortably in the playoffs to start resting him. They have Peter Budaj who was decent enough last year on LA when Quick was injured. So I feel like they got Budaj, hopefully, to stave off Vasilevsky a little bit. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If you're in a clown league that goes to the last week of the season, A, like you should change your league format because that's a really dumb thing to do because a lot of teams are resting players. But I would definitely expect Peter Budaj to be a good add in the last week of the season and Vasilevsky to not be valuable because like, yeah, why would they play him if they've already clinched first overall in the conference?
I've got a roto league that I play in for hockey. So it's a little bit different that way, which clearly...
It just goes, you're just counting all the points all the way through the season.
Yeah, you're taking the total statistical makeup of the whole year, which isn't the popular hockey format. I think most people play head-to-head or points, or head-to-head points. So
yeah, a lot of people just... I think head-to-head is just more... popular because with a roto format like yours, sometimes like February can come and you've already know pretty much who's in, you know, at least you know who's out.
Yeah,
and sometimes you even know who's in. Like it's fun having a fantasy, just like in real NHL, right? Like if they wanted to, they could just play games and then give the Stanley Cup to whatever team has the most regular season points. But they do playoffs for a reason because it's really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, the upside to doing roto is the best team ends up being the best team
for sure.
Where head to head has so many variables that sometimes the best team doesn't win.
Yeah, I mean, that's always, we do an episode pretty much every summer where we sort of like go over like designing the ultimate league and like we take lessons learned because like we're running our own league. And it's always like this trade-off of fairness versus sort of fun and gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can have a category like plus minus or the game-winning goals even is you know, these are like types of categories where really they're hard to predict. And plus minus is a whole other thing. It's just like a bad category. It's not fair to penalize a player who's on a bad team when they might actually be a really good player. But like something like game-winning goals is so random, but it's kind of fun. Like, I'll admit it. Like, being in a league with game-winning goals, like if you get a game-winning goal, it's like, oh my God, I just got a game-winning goal. That's so great. I'm going to win the category now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not fair. Like you know, like you could have Ovechkin scored three goals, he got a hat trick, but then the other team also scored three goals. So it was whoever scored the fourth goal for Washington gets the game winning goal, but Washington won like 7-3. You know, it's like how is one goal any more valuable than the other? But makes it fun. Spin the wheel.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you could go with game tying goals as well as a category.
Sure. I mean, how about first goal of the game? That would be a fun category.
I mean, if you set up a league on Fantrax, they literally have anything that you can think of as a category. Like, Gordie Howe hat tricks is a category you can add into Fantrax.
So who's leading the league in Gordie Howe hat tricks right now? Do you know? Can you pull that up?
I can't. But at least not quickly. I assume it's probably like a 12-way tie.
Maybe right, with last. One.
Yeah, with one. I know Charles McAvoy has one. Outside of that, I'm sure there's several. There are a few other players, but
Charlie McAvoy is like a Provorov light.
Yeah,
like not on the top power play, but great for peripherals.
Yeah, the American Ivan Provorov.
Hey, there you go. Who's the Canadian Ivan Provorov? And I'm just throwing like random questions at you. Okay, do you have more questions for me?
Yeah, I think we've. I mean, Anderson's obviously the window's passed. I mean, if you want to buy Frederik Andersen, that first week or two of the season is your time to do it. Just a fun thing to keep in mind next year, as it's been consecutive years of bad starts. But yeah, I don't think there's too much else to talk about Andersen, as it's own him and don't be pried away by a bad week.
Yeah, ride the wave. I guess one thing I will point out for the real like intense nerds, like the podcast I just recorded, we started, like I said, talking about playoff schedules. Toronto doesn't have, if you're playing 2 week playoffs, then Toronto only plays like over the fifth last week of the season and the fourth last week of the season, which might be like the semifinals for a lot of leagues, assuming they don't like actually play the last week of the season. Anyways, Toronto's the only team that plays only 5 games over that 2 week stretch. So you might not get, but at the same time, Frederik Andersen's probably going to play all 5 games. So even if you had a goalie on a team playing like 7 games, maybe it would be the same number of starts. So actually, that's a silly thing. It's more like for other players on Toronto that you might want to be worried about. They're not going to play a lot in the playoffs.
Yeah, it may actually be an advantage for Andersen because he should be more well-rested.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But for the second half of the show, we're going to talk about some of the Ottawa Senators. One of the things I've started to do with this podcast to keep it from being longer than 20 minutes is I like to take my guest and we talk about some players on their favorite team, discuss their fantasy relevance, and things along that line. So, Elon, you had chosen the Ottawa Senators.
I guess they kind of got chosen for me. The thing is, I really have become one of these people who, like, my favorite team is my fantasy team. And the Sens also are a really hard team to have as your favorite team. We actually had a post on our Patreon Facebook group by this guy, Brad, who just asked, like, which team is the worst in the NHL right now? And he sort of gave some arguments for Arizona, and he gave some arguments for, like, Buffalo and Montreal and Vancouver and Detroit all in the conversation. But a lot of people were suggesting might just be Ottawa. And this is before they've actually had a nice run of scoring lately. Like back on January 1st, when this was posted, they had also like not scored in a bunch of games. But yeah, like the Sens have had a really rough year. They're having trouble scoring. Maybe they're turning it around now. Maybe this bye week will help them out. But it's a tough team to cheer for. And the news came out that they might not even re-sign Erik Karlsson. So how can you be a fan of the Sens if they're not even going to keep this franchise player, once in a lifetime player on the team?
Well, so I've gotten into this discussion a little bit on Twitter because it might have been Brian, actually, because I do also listen to your podcast that had started the not going to any more Senators games.
Right, yeah. Until they change ownership. Brian likes to – I don't want to talk to Brian. Brian likes to take stands about things. I go with the flow a little bit.
And to be fair, I mean, Eugene Melnyk is, I mean, I think a lot of it's grandstanding because he really wants that downtown arena. Because where the Canadian Tire Center is just a really bad location.
Yeah, for sure. You have to account for an hour extra, like to get there with traffic, an hour extra after to go home if you're planning to drive. It's not the most fun night going to a Sens game.
I traveled there once to go to a Sens game, and it was like, yeah, not only is the traffic bad, and it takes forever, but there's also nowhere to stay anywhere close to the arena. Like the team's probably like bust themselves in from like Ottawa proper to get out to Kanata. And yeah, it's just all around not, I mean, not a great experience. So I think a lot of it's, you know, politicking and grandstanding to try to get, you know, get the his deal, because he's obviously going to profit considerably to move the team downtown if they can also build on his land with his plan. I mean, it would be difficult to for the team to not re-sign Carlson. I mean, obviously you would, and you don't even know what you'd get back in a trade. Like, that's the worst part of it, because
I mean, I'd imagine they'd get crap load back in a trade. Like, he's probably the best defenseman in the league.
But at the same time, there's no matched value, right? I mean, you go back and you look at, like, other stars that get traded.
And like Taylor Hall.
Yeah, it never works out.
Hey, you get a second pairing defenseman back for a superstar. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? I mean, like, even if you go back, like, the some of the trades that stand out over time, right? You look at the Peter Forsberg trade from, I guess, then Quebec to Philadelphia.
Or is that the one with Eric Lindros?
Yeah, yeah, that's the Lindros trade. But, like, you got Eric Lindros. Great. His career was shortened by concussions, and you never won a Stanley Cup.
They made it to the finals.
Once, but essentially you traded, like, half of a Stanley Cup winning team in Colorado to get him.
So you don't think the Sens could get a haul like that for Eric Carlson now? Did Philadelphia ruin it for the rest of us?
Well, I would actually wonder if Philadelphia, like, you'd have to look at teams that would have that many useful prospects that you'd be looking for, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, how about Toronto? They could, I mean, I don't really want to get into trade speculation Carlson, because I just don't want Carlson to get traded.
Yeah.
But, like, Toronto could really use a top defenseman like Eric Carlson. That would put him over the top. And they do happen to have a lot of really good young players. So, I don't know. Maybe they could talk. But honestly, the Sens just, like, they could get a new arena all they want. If they don't have a player like Eric Carlson, I don't know how excited it'll be to go to the games. They're already terrible with him. But which is, I guess, why they're maybe considering it. But I don't know. This is, like, beyond fantasy. It's not really my expertise.
That's all right. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, when I think of the Senators, there's always – I have this theory, and it's starting to become less of a theory, and it's that Craig Anderson stinks every other year. And statistically, I've actually been able to – I've gone back and I've looked at it, and he actually does seem to stink every other year. Dating back, I'll just pull this up so that I can sound like less of a jerk if I'm completely wrong.
Sounds to me like you're calling Craig Anderson as he's going to be the sleeper pick of the year next year.
Yeah.
In most leagues.
I'm
seeing it now. Yeah. Like, this series at 899, then last 926, 916, 923, 911. Yeah. Above and below average, fluctuating. The numbers bear it out. So there you go. But he's also now 36 years old. So I think the likelihood of him being able to bounce back with another, like, you know, 920 plus save percentage season, like, it goes down. And also the Sens aren't exactly building this amazing team around him to help. So I still, even with this amazing theory, I don't think I'm going to be reaching for Craig Anderson high in my drafts. Though, like, the other thing is the Sens don't really have anyone else right now. I guess they have this guy in the minors who I've heard talked about before. There's this Dauber Prospects podcast. I remember over the summer they were talking about a Sens goalie that I'm totally blanking on that could be a good prospect in the future, but I don't know if he's going to be ready next year.
I took a look because...
Hogberg.
Yeah, Hogberg. Marcus Hogberg. He's only played a few games this year, though.
Oh, yeah?
In Belleville. So it's hard to project based on... I mean, typically what happens... I find with when we start to dig into different prospects is that prospect ranks go up and down, and it's like, high on this guy, he played well in Sweden, came over, didn't do so well in the AHL. Well, we'll give him another year. Because, I mean, was it Matt O'Connor? They signed out of the U.S. college, was like, this guy might be ready in a year. Paid a lot of money. He never panned out. He's gone now. But, yeah, Hogberg has he's been pretty good in but just in three games, actually, he hasn't been that good. 899 save percentage, 324 goals against.
Well, three games is too much of a...
Yeah, and you're going to give him a discount because I think, like, he's also adjusting to life in Belleville as opposed to life in Sweden, which I...
Yeah, I'm seeing this article on Dauber Hockey from October. So this is already, like, old, but they had a top 50 prospect goaltenders, and Hogberg ranked number 12.
Huh?
So, I mean, he was high on this list, and the ones above him, are some of them are in the league right now. Tristan Jarry, they had as number 8, and he's been challenging Matt Murray lately for starts. And Anton Forsberg is there. He's currently the Chicago starting goalie because of Crawford injured. Laurent Brossois is number 2. That looks like a whiff. I think they might have gotten that one wrong. I don't know when he's getting his next NHL game. They've got UC Saros as number 1. I think he's going to be a great guy to own in deep leagues. There was another name. Oh, yeah, Malcolm Subban was so amazing. Yeah. With, and he's still been amazing, but just flurries all of Vegas. Just they can't lose. So Subban one day might have a chance when Fleury gets injured or something.
Yeah.
One day, Marcus Hogberg. But until then, the Sens are going to suck. And yeah, like Craig Anderson might not be that great anymore, and he's getting older. He's had injury issues over the years, which I know Brian actually points out as sometimes that could actually be like a plus. Like he has less mileage than most 36-year-old goalies because he's played so many fewer games. Last year, though, they made it to the conference finals. And I remember I was listening to, I think it was the TSN Hockey Analytics podcast, and one of their main guys that they interview all the time, like either Travis Yost or one of those experts, was looking at how Ottawa was basically an amazing team when Carlson was on the ice, like just looking at, you know, like Corsi and like controlling the game, shots for versus shots against. It was like while Carlson was on the ice, they were like a really good team, and then when he wasn't on the ice, they were like a terrible team. So like the playoffs was just basically like try not to let in a goal while Carlson's not on the ice, and then, you know, when he comes on, then do some damage. And that's how, and you know, and then also on the back of Craig Anderson standing on his head, that's what took them to the conference finals. But it's crazy. You can't build a team like that. And you can't trade Carlson. Then what's going to happen?
Talking about the Senators, I mean, this year is more or less done, at least for their team perspective. But I still feel like there's lots of fantasy relevant players on this team.
Well, yeah. I mean, underrated, Mark Stone has also 42 points in 42 games, along with Rantanen and who's the other guy we talked about that's point per game? Oh, Couturier.
Yeah.
I don't think that many people, I guess he had a couple, he's had like a huge surge. 3 straight multi-point games before nothing versus Toronto yesterday. But yeah, Mark Stone with that big surge brought him to a point per game. I feel like if you were to ask around, most people wouldn't be expecting that Mark Stone has had such an amazing season, especially since Ottawa's had such trouble scoring. He would have been a really good buy low because he had a slow... Did he have a slow stretch? I feel like all of Ottawa players were having slow stretches at some point. I guess Mark Stone, he had like 4 pointless games in December, at the start of December. But yeah, he's amazing.
So. Yeah. I think on my last podcast, I actually talked about the curse of Matt Duchene. It was very, I mean, I'll call this coincidence because I really don't know this, but, you know, he leaves Colorado, Rantanen and MacKinnon catch fire more or less from that point forward. Colorado surges up in the standings. He comes to Ottawa, who is then, I think, second or third in the Atlantic, and they've just tanked since.
Yeah.
Duchene's on a nice point streak right now. I think he's got points in his last 3 games.
Yeah, he didn't get anything against Chicago, but in his last 4 games, he's got 3 goals and 3 assists. He had 2 assists versus Toronto yesterday. So yeah, I actually had Duchene, and I dropped him in a league because I was just tired of him never giving me any points. That was right before this surge, which is kind of frustrating, except that the spot that I dropped him, I'm currently riding. I guess like I dropped him for Osterley, then I dropped someone else for Okposo. So at this point, if Duchene even went back to free agency, I don't even know if I would pick him up because Okposo is also on a great run, and I have more confidence in him playing with Eichel on the top line, top power play, to continue rolling than Matt Duchene, who I could easily see going cold again.
Yeah, and I guess I'd be almost surprised if he didn't. Like, if he maintained like a point per game pace the rest of the way, while I would be happy as an Ottawa Senators fan, I would be surprised as a fantasy player.
Right. Well, hey, it's what is it now? 3 seasons ago, 2013-14. This is 4 seasons ago now. He had 70 points in 71 games for the Avalanche. He really broke out as a point per game potential like superstar. And then ever since then, it's been downhill.
Yeah. And I believe that would have been around the same season that he also played on like one the gold medal hockey team for Team Canada.
Right.
Really pushed up that stock as well. It was like, well, if he's good enough for Team Canada, he'll be a 40-point guy for the next 3 years, I guess.
I mean, I still would say, like, if Duchesne is a free agent in your league right now, you might as well grab him and ride this hot streak. And Ottawa's, you know, starting to score some goals lately. Like, in their last few games, they've been, like, they had 4 goals against Toronto, 2 against Chicago, then 6 against Tampa, and 6 against San Jose. So the last 4 games, they've got a good handful of goals. So I'd get in on any of these guys right now, at least, while they're rolling. So, like, Mike Hoffman has been disappointing this year. And he actually isn't even getting in on so many of these goals, but he takes so many shots. Like, he should be owned. He's a good, like, potential buy low. Though, when you say buy low, then I get worried because I don't want people to think they're buying low, but actually it's, like, a bad trade for them. Like, they're like, you know, like we say on the podcast, like, get buy low on Mike Hoffman. They're like, okay, great. I just traded Braden Point for Mike Hoffman. It's like, no, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, that's not buying low. That's buying high.
Yeah, like, maybe – yeah, I feel like a good buy low is, like, a good way to tell if you're buying low is if it's someone you picked up from free agency recently and they went on a hot streak. Like, if you picked up Jordan Osterley and now he's doing well, and then if you could flip him for Mike Hoffman, that you've done well. Because what are the odds that Osterley stays this valuable like he's been lately? Or maybe, like, if we're talking, like, forwards for forwards, I don't know, like, even Okposo, you know, he's been in free agency for a lot of leagues. I would flip Okposo for Mike Hoffman right now if I could. But not someone who's been, like, good all year, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Hoffman has, I mean, a pretty disappointing 29 points in 42 games and only 11 goals.
Yeah, is disappointing.
Because, I mean, he was a guy I felt like you could bank on for 25 to 30. Given, you know, 26 last year, 30 the year before that, 27 the year before that. His shooting percentage is way down.
Yeah, which is a good thing, right? Yeah, that means he's likely to be able to, he's been at above 11.6 for, like, the last 3 seasons, and now he's at 7.9. And he actually has more shots now. Like, he's on pace to, or I don't know, he's about the same. Because I guess I was looking at his shots this year versus last year. But last year he only played 74 games in the end. So it looks like he's shooting the same, like, in terms of number of shots. And, like, what are the lines? That's, I guess, another thing to look at. But Ottawa's been shaking things around. Bobby Ryan is injured again with a hand injury. So Hoffman was playing with Duchesne and Colin White in the last game. Colin White getting up there. So that's kind of cool. That's a good line to be in. And then on the top power play, Hoffman is there with Stone and Brassard. Matt Duchesne not on the top power play in the last game. So that's another reason to be less excited about him. Looks like he only got 42%. Oh, yeah. Actually, for the last couple of games, Duchesne hasn't been getting top power play time. So I would say, if anything, sell high on Duchesne if you can now that he's on a hot run. Like, if you could swap Duchesne for Hoffman right now, I would definitely do that.
Yeah. Because, I think when you look at the metrics, as you pointed out, there's room for some regression in a positive way here. So,
But Ottawa still has to get there. We've got to get things going.
But there's enough. I feel like there's enough talent on their top six for them to score enough goals.
Yeah, you'd think so. Like, just their names. Like, Derek Brassard is someone who's, like, a 60-point guy back when he was on the Rangers. And he's, like, not been so terrible this year, actually. Like, last year he was actually terrible. I think he ended up with, I'm just bringing it up now, 39 points. I can't believe that. Like, people were hoping he'd be, like, a 60-point guy. But this year he's got 28 and 42. 55-point pace. Nothing wrong with that. So yeah, Brassard's having a good year, and he's taking a bunch of shots. So, and he's on the top power play. So, yeah, you're right. They have some good star power. They just need to get things going, put things together. It would help if Erik Karlsson could play 60 minutes a game. Then I think all these forwards would get a lot of points.
Yeah. I mean, maybe even 65 if needed. But, I mean, from an overall perspective and from a fantasy perspective, it's sad to think of this way, but really it is, as Karlsson goes, so goes the Senators.
Yeah, and Karlsson's been also very disappointing for a lot of people, unfortunately, like people who are hoping for another 82-point season. It's not looking that way. But again, he's like one of these guys that's a big threat. Like, he had this like 3-assist game versus Tampa recently. He plays all the time. Like, when Ottawa scores a goal, there's a good chance he's going to get in on it. So I'd imagine he's still going to hover around like a 70-point pace moving forward. Maybe it's going to be hard to get a point per game on this team. But I love Karlsson. We named our podcast after him.
That's hard to dispute.
I will never blame him. If the Sens are doing badly, it's like in spite of how good he's playing, not because of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 30 points in 37 games. Although, I mean,
a lot of it came early on. He like, like when he came back from his injury, he was getting like multi-point games every game for a little bit. And then he had a really bad slow stretch. It was like 9 games without a point at one point. And now he's getting back in on things. Like, yeah, he'll be fine.
I feel like you're still going to get probably 60 or 70 points, which is not what you drafted, but still incredibly valuable for a defenseman.
Plus, last year he like was among the league leaders in blocks, which was crazy. And then he ended up getting injured near the end of the year by blocking a shot with his ankles. So I was like, why are you doing that? But at the same time, if you're in a league that counts blocks, you know, that's a tough actually thing. It's like, do you complain? Like, do you like stop blocking? But it's like, oh, so I kind of like it. And anyways, this year he wasn't blocking to start the year. And we were saying on our podcast, like, that's probably good. Like, you shouldn't be disappointed that Carlson's not blocking because it means he's probably going to try to not get injured. But actually, in the last 4 games, 3 of them, he's had 4 blocks. So when he doesn't get points, it's nice if he can help you with something else. He's taking a lot of shots. He's blocking. So it's nice always to get something, even if you don't get the points. But I'm sure points will be coming very often.
Yeah. The points are going to come. I get concerned about the block shots number. And I actually would wonder at some point if that's not the thing that eventually leads to what feels like the coming end of everyone's favorite James Bond villain, Guy Boucher. But it's hard to discount Carlson. If there's one player on the Senators that you would recommend in a deep league who's not owned right now, who would that player be?
I think you've got to go Ryan Dzingel. Like, he's currently, at least in the last game, he was playing on the top line, getting top minutes with Stone and Brassard, and he was on the top power play with Brassard, Hoffman, Stone, and Carlson, and he's on a good run right now. He's got 5 points in his last 5 games, 4 goals and 1 assist. He's taking some shots. I don't even see who else it could possibly be. The only other, like, names in consideration would maybe be Thomas Chabot, who was getting, like, the defenseman rookie, who was getting some power play time, and he actually had a goal against Toronto. So I guess, like, if your league, you know, super hard to get defensemen, he has some offensive upside for sure. He's also been taking some shots lately. But I think that Dzingel's the guy who I would grab out of the Sens that's probably available in your league.
Yeah, a very good choice. In the year, I'd really hyped Cody Ceci filling up the power play time with Carlson's absence. That was failed. I think it was the best way to think of that. I mean, he's got 9 points. Same with Chabot, and Chabot has played 19 less games.
Did you hear the rumor that apparently the Sens could have potentially traded CC for Taylor Hall?
Yes, I did hear that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, safest way to think of that is mistakes have been made. there's going to be some players here. the 18.8% shooting percentage is going to probably bring itself crashing back to earth. So 20 maybe isn't out of the way, but I wouldn't look for much past that just based on his shooting percentage.
Oh, for goals?
I remember actually at 14%, which is impressive considering his ice time, and that's over 153 games. So
yeah, some players are able to maintain a higher shooting percentage. What's that guy's name? It'll come to me. A guy who was on Colorado had a really high shooting percentage all throughout his career, just retired recently.
The name escapes me as well, but
yeah, the Dzingel's obviously not going to keep up a point per game pace, but as a streamer right now, while he's hot and on a good line, you could definitely do worse. Like, check if he's available, see who else you're comparing him against. You could also tweet at Kevin Carlson and give us your list. Or would you guys answer fantasy advice questions on Twitter?
Yeah, absolutely. You can tweet at me at Andrew K. Dewhurst or at Fantasy Benefits.
All right, tag us all.
Yeah,
you got 200 million characters now on Twitter, so you can tag everybody and then give us your list of players. We'll let you know if we'd rather Dzingel or one of the other options.
Yeah, or other random guy.
Yeah. There's a couple good guys right now in Chicago, like Hinostroza on line 1 has been good.
Yeah, and I think if you have the opportunity to go grab Anthony Duclair, now's a great time to do it.
Yeah, you think
yesterday was probably a great time to do it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm missing the boat. He's been not great on Arizona. I know I think Denis Duclair didn't have like this amazing draft pedigree. He was drafted in the third round. So it's not as if he came into the league with everyone thinking, I don't know why everyone's like so into Anthony Duclair. He had an OKC. He had like a really good run on the Rangers at one point. He had like 7 points in like 9 games to start a season. And everyone went nuts about him.
His rookie season, he had 20 goals, 44 points.
Yeah, on Arizona. Yeah, the next year after that stint on the Rangers. Yeah, he's okay. Like, the thing is, on Chicago, like, I think that second line is pretty much locked up. Like, once Anisimov is healthy, they're going Schmaltz, Anisimov, Patrick Kane. And then you've got the top line, Taves and Saad. So it's like that third piece. So that would be the only way Duclair is valuable, is if he takes that spot on that line. Except there's a lot of people he's competing against. Like, Hinostroza's there now, and he's doing well. But if not him, then it could still be DeBrincat, who people are excited about. Like, are we really expecting Duclair to be so much better than DeBrincat? I don't know. DeBrincat scored like so many goals in the minors. So yeah, I'm not going to grab him. I'll let my opponents grab him, and maybe I'll regret it. But I have a feeling I won't.
Yeah, I just think of him as one of those guys who's got some potential there, and I always wonder. And this was part of my initial thought on Matt Duchene, was when you take a guy out of a bad situation and put him into a good one, will he excel?
If he goes to a good situation, though, he's bottom. Maybe they just got him as a depth player to help round out their bottom six, and they'll play with Patrick Sharp and this Kampf guy, whatever his name is, and like, you know, and he'll be like good, and he'll help them with some, you know, bottom six scoring, which is very valuable, and maybe he'll help Chicago not get destroyed in the first round of the playoffs. Well, right now they're actually struggling to even make it into the playoffs. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm not expecting fantasy relevance from Anthony Duclair. If you could get like 0.5 per game, if that's valuable in your league, if it's a super deep league, then maybe you can hope for that. But like, if I wouldn't be expecting like better than he did in his rookie season, that's for sure.
Fair enough.
Cool. Well,
let's go ahead and wrap things up. Thanks again for coming on, Elon. It's been a lot of fun. Let the listeners know again where you can be reached.
Sure. Well, we're called Keeping Carlson, so you could search on the internet for Keeping Carlson and listen to our podcast. If you liked listening to me ramble here, I'm like the question asker on mine. This is like a rare thing for me to be the answerer. Normally I come up with a question, and then this like genius guy, Brian, is the one who looks into things and comes up with all the smart answers. So I think take a shot. Why not listen to our podcast and see if you like it? And let us know. Tweet at us at Keeping Carlson. Let us know what you thought. Tell us you came to us from the Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. I'd be interested to know if this interview leads to any new listeners. That would be kind of cool.
All right. I can be found at Andrew K. Dewhurst. You can look for my articles every week on who was hot the previous week. Also, I'm posting periodically just updates as to top 25s for each position and top 30 for goalies. So just recently dropped those into our Facebook discussion group and on Twitter. And thanks again for listening, and have a great fantasy hockey season.